And once one has developed a rather complicated, at least three-tiered psychological self of a conscious, a censoring agency that's always looking out for information it has to deny, reject, refuse, repress, etc., and that subconscious dungeon of the shadow, as long as that structure is the operative mental apparatus that one has a sense is protecting one from externalized dangers, one cannot recognize that the real danger is that one's own freedom, one's own spontaneity, one's own gift of inherent genius has been repressed along with the soul's fear of being hurt again. And so this creates a massive resistance to the other, to authority, to any force that would threaten the pseudo-autonomy of the ego. And it's always on the edge of a fight or flight reaction and cannot be in a fully receptive mode or a mode of appreciation of all that is given by the real, by the presence that underlies and pervades the world in the forms of nature and all the beauties and the extraordinary phenomena saturated with the divine presence that is in a certain sense censored from one's full appreciation of its aesthetic power, its spiritual power, its inherent values of truth and beauty and love that inherently emanate from the real. And there is therefore an alienation, both from what is projected as being without as well as what lies deep within. And so that self-alienation, that's an alienation from nature and from vulnerability to the other, also eliminates the authentic capacity for rapport, for real, deep, fulfilling love. And so the divine eros is repressed, and instead a very shoddy substitute based on possessiveness and usually one of two modes of interaction, either of intimidation or seduction, takes the place of the capacity of relating in that divine mutuality of recognition of the oneness that pervades the differences of all of the forms of manifestation that constitute the infinite creative power of the inconceivable God Self. And so it's the willingness to risk love and to risk the unknowable self coming fully into one's consciousness and taking over from the ego. It's the courage and the discernment of the urgency of that as one's salvation from suffering and from self-condemnation because of the guilt and shame that accompanies that that alienation from the real, that has created a kind of a hell realm in the microcosm as well as in the macrocosm, because the collective ego is colluding to relate only in a conflictual way and not in a harmonious one. And because egos are in a constant power struggle. It can be very subtle and sophisticated and nuanced, or it can be a brutal fight club, but it's that kind of ultimate my way or the highway sort of relationality that tends to produce the schisms and the divorces and the antagonisms and the factions and the frictions that destroy the harmony and joy of being alive. And which is why there's an underlying collective death drive that is pushing the world at a political and military level, and a level of social collapse that is the symptom of all of this, toward the ultimate Holocaust as the only escape known to the ego from the horror that life has become because of one's own constriction of one's consciousness into a mode of aggression and avoidance rather than the fullness and openness of encountering the real with that purity and innocence of love that is our true being. And so the yogi is one who begins to journey away from the egoic hell realm and enters into a process of self-transformation to free oneself from oneself. Because one discovers very quickly that the seeker of freedom is also the obstacle to the freedom. And therefore, there must be a state in which the I thought that's always trying to get something and grasp something, whether it's physical or in the phenomenal realm, is doing the same modality of approach to God consciousness, and that doesn't work. And so there has to be ego death in order for the real essence of one's being, beginning at the soul level, and then merging with that infinite consciousness, can be fully awakened, illumined, activated, and finally merged again with that level of its being that we had become cut off from. But very few are willing to go through ego death. And they'll play with that and turn it into a concept that they'll weaponize and blame the other for not going through ego death. And you go first, so why should I do it? And that kind of approach that then, of course, leads to the worst consequences for everyone. And so a yogi is one who says, I'll go first. I'll go through ego death. And then create a vibrational frequency of freedom that then can spread through the morphogenic field and produce blessings for all, because they will see that the quiff has been popped, the quantum qualium wave function has been decollapsed in one sector of the morphic field, and therefore the information of that achievement becomes generalized, and every consciousness then has access to instant liberation because the vibrational frequency of that has been emanated through the morphic field. And so when a significant number that has to reach a critical level of energy have popped that ego bubble and entered into the oceanic consciousness, then all the other bubbles begin to pop. And the oceanic nature then takes over, and the world dream that had become a nightmare is then easily redreamed through the liberation of consciousness itself back to its original and eternal beauty. And that becomes the world that is perceived. So this transformation that at one level looks like destruction, at another level is simply the birth pangs of the regeneration of the power of consciousness to create a realm of divine beauty, a heavenly world to replace the hellish one, and accompanied by the wisdom that is extracted from one's own suffering and turned into the power to then sustain a new age, a new dynasty, a new mandate of heaven